Welcome to the New Testament Closer Walk podcast from Walk Through the Bible. This podcast is a daily adventure that will guide you on a life-changing journey through the New Testament in 1 year. Join us every day as we listen through the entire New Testament, along with a short devotional and thoughts from great Christian leaders of the past that will help bring the New Testament alive for you today. It's a closer walk with Jesus through God's Word. For more free resources, including a daily worship from the heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod.
Not a destination, but a beginning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, Acts 2:42. Perhaps you thought you had arrived when you became a Christian, and in a sense you had. You arrived at the starting line of a race that required devotion, as the first converts to Christianity learned, Acts 2:42. A.W. Tozer echoes this theme in his insightful look at conversion, an event which the Bible portrays more as a place to start than to finish. Walk with A.W. Tozer, an American preacher and prolific author on spiritual themes in the 1900s. Conversion for the early Christians was not a destination. It was the beginning of a journey. And right there is often where the biblical emphasis differs from our own. In our eagerness to convert, we allow our hearers to absorb the idea that they can deal with their entire responsibility once and for all by an act of believing. In the book of Acts, faith was for each believer a beginning, not a bed in which to lie while waiting for the Lord's triumph. Believing was not a once-done act. It was an attitude of heart and mind which inspired and enabled the believer to follow the Lord wherever he went. Today's New Testament reading is Acts chapter 2.
Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Whether in the first century or the 20th, the hope of heaven comes the same way through believing faith in the Savior. That's step one in the lifelong adventure of walking with God. But one step does not make a journey. Indeed, there are many steps to follow. Instruction in the Word, fellowship with other believers, communication with the Father, each represents a step in the right direction. And in the process of learning to walk, you'll discover that following the Lord is the only race in which you grow stronger with each step you take.
Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode as we take a closer walk through the New Testament in 1 year. For more free resources, including a daily Worship from the Heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod. That's walkthru.org/ntpod. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.